Well, good morning, everybody. Today our gospel kind of really picks up beautifully from where we kind of stopped last week. Last week was the last week in ordinary time for a little while, and this is the first Sunday of Lent, but yet the gospels really kind of flow. Last week, remember, we talked about the man who had the beam in his eye and was blind to his sin. And we reflected on the fact that when we're blind to our sins, then we lose control, and our sins have a very destructive power about them. And we noted that the president of Russia, for example, one man's sin unleashes more heartache, more evil than one could ever imagine. And that happens on our local little levels too, you know. But today the question is, like, once I have become unblind to my sin, once I've kind of faced it and see what it is, how do I deal with it? What are some good ways to deal with it? Jesus provides a beautiful example in our gospel today, because he goes to the desert for 40 days. This is the first Lent, and we, in a sense, we go into the desert with Jesus, in Jesus, every Lent. And the gospel says that he goes to the desert in order to be tempted by the devil, in order to do battle with the devil. And you know that we're doing our book study starting tonight. Everybody's welcome at 7 p.m. at the basement of the cafeteria at St. Joe. We're doing the Screwtape Letters, which is a senior demon writing to a student demon. And it was C.S. Lewis's most famous work. But he begins it by saying, humanity makes two mistakes when it comes to the devil. We either obsess about him, or we pretend he's not even real. And he says, we need to be in the middle, because there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on in our own lives and in our world. And we have to recognize that the devil is real, and that he is prowling about, seeking to destroy. Now, fortunate for us that we have Jesus. Jesus is the victor. He always wins. If we stay in Jesus, we're great. Totally great. Everything. But that's the trick. And our sins, the devil comes in to try to get us out of Jesus, to try to tempt us, and to try to destroy us. So how does he do it? How does Jesus fight back in the first Lent ever? With the Word of God. He fights back with Scripture. And that's why our Bibles are so important. Because if we daily have to read a piece from our Scripture in order to do battle with the enemy. And I was thinking that that's true just generally, like just reading the Bible really helps. But it also helps if once we know what our sins are, we become unblind to them. Then we can start to see, what does the Scripture say about dealing with this or that sin? And I have a coffee mug, one of my favorite coffee mugs. And it has a whole bunch of scriptures on it, but it has the lies of the enemy, and then it says what God says about it. For example, the enemy says, it's impossible, you can't do it. God says, Luke 18:27, with me all things are possible. The devil says, you're exhausted, you can't keep going. God says, wait on me and I will renew your strength. Isaiah 40:31. The enemy says, be afraid. God says, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. The enemy says, you're not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30. There's more. But like any sin you're dealing with, you can go to Google and you can see what the Bible says about dealing with that sin. And so if you're dealing with a self-image issue, how about look to where it says in the Scripture, you are precious in my eyes, you are honored, and I love you. If you're dealing with greed, turn to Matthew 25. Where Jesus says, when you did it for the least of my brothers, you did it for me. If you're dealing with lust, look to the Beatitudes Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. If you're dealing with worry and the trials and the tribulations of life, anxieties, open up to Matthew 6, where Jesus says, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself." And all of everything that we struggle with, all of the different ways that the enemy tries to come in to our life, can be countered with the living Word of God. And Jesus becomes the Word made flesh. And so we turn to the Word, we turn to the Word made flesh, and in Jesus we can do some serious, beautiful battle. There is one verse of Scripture that is particularly powerful, and that is Luke chapter 1, verse 28. It forms the first half of the Hail Mary prayer. And we know that there is great power. Padre Pio said that the rosary is the weapon of our time. And when we turn to the power of Mary, when we turn to our rosaries, we take up arms. And now is the time, you remember, when Our Lady appeared in Fatima. She appeared to these three children, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco, and she said, "Pray the rosary for world peace." And she said, "Spread this message. Tell every Catholic to pray the rosary every day for peace." And when we pray the rosary, we're praying the Scripture. We're using the Word of God to take up arms against the enemy who is around. And if we all prayed the rosary, it'd be another Battle of Lepanto. Google that. That's when the rosary brought about peace in the most unlikely of situations. And my friends, we have to pray the rosary. We have to. And there was a line in my word of the day, I have a word of the day email, and it has a quote of the day. And the quote of the day the other day was from Dr. Seuss. And I thought it was great. It said, "Unless somebody like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not." And so we have got to care a whole awful lot. And we take up our arms, the Scripture and the rosary, which is a way of taking up Scripture. And we ask our Lord, we ask Our Lady to give us what we need to be victorious in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.